the enemy, he doesn't like what we're doing here at all. He doesn't like what you stand for. He doesn't like what I stand for. He doesn't want us to worship. He doesn't want the preaching of the word to be done. But I got news for him. Even if it's like pulling teeth out of an alligator today, we're going to deliver God's word. And so I just want for us to pray today, because the Bible says where two or three agree touching any one thing, it shall be done, right? So Father, this morning we are together. We are in one mind and one accord. We are in unity. Lord, we are in your presence, in your house, to hear your word proclaimed. We're here to give worship, glory, and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're here today, God, to build ourselves up in the most holy faith, God, to go out from this place and to begin to do battle on behalf of the work of the Lord to populate heaven, to see that people get saved, Lord, to understand what your word says about salvation and about what we're to do. Lord, your word says that my job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So I've got to impart something in them that they can take out of this place today and use it, Lord, to evangelize and to get people saved for the glory of God. Now, Lord, I pray today we serve notice on the enemy. You have no right and no business in this place today. We pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would so fill this place, God, that the presence of anything evil would have to leave, would have to flee from this place, Lord. We know that at the name of Jesus, demons tremble. And so, Lord, today we lift your name, the name of Jesus. God, that your word, I pray, God, that you would anoint me. That you would anoint me, God, to preach your word. Anoint your people to receive your word today. Anoint those that are watching by way of the internet. God, that your word would impact their lives. That they would do what they can do to change the environment that they're in. To be used of God to set souls free. To tell them about Jesus. And Father, I thank you for it. God, I pray for every person in this place today that might be sick. Anyone that's watching by way of the internet today that might be sick, Lord, your word says it's by your stripes we're healed. We just simply lift them to you and say, God, touch them, heal them, set them free. Those that are bound up, Lord, break the chains of bondage. Set the captives free today. I pray in Jesus' name for your glory and for your honor. I pray, amen. You may be seated. Give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise, will you? All right. All right. Thank you again, worship team. Hey, you better go to children's church. Your work here is done. That guy, he's going to probably cost his papa some money. I'm just saying. Lord, I need you today. I need you. I don't know what's got me so shook this morning, Lord. But I need you to zero me out, to tune me in to all that you want to do in this place today, God. I feel like there's just distraction, Lord, and we are praying against it. Maybe it's because of the importance of this message, Lord, that your enemy is trying to bring such distraction and such opposition. But God, as you give me strength this morning, as you fill this mouth with your words, Lord, as you anoint me, God, today to declare your word, Lord, I pray that these words would glorify you today, that lives would literally be transformed today because of your word. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. And amen. I want to talk to you today about the sacrifice. Message titled, The Sacrifice. I want for us to look at the Old Testament system of sacrifice and what it was that the high priests had to go through and why. I want for us to understand and look at ultimately what Jesus went through and why, and realize that it was final and that it was forever. Amen. It was final and it was forever. I want you to turn to the book of Leviticus this morning, chapter 16 in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Third book in, starting in verse 1. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the place, or into the holy place, with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering, and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with the linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to let it go as a scapegoat into the wilderness. Aren't you glad that we don't have to go through all of that today? I'm a hunter and a fisherman and an outdoorsy kind of guy, and I know the process that you go through when you harvest an animal and you begin to think about the number of the children of Israel. You begin to think about the number of the sacrifices every year that had to be made. And you begin to think about the foul. There had to be a foul. I mean, to us, it would be a foul odor and a mess everywhere. Can I tell you that the Day of Atonement was the greatest day of the year for Israel? It was the greatest day. The Hebrew word for atone means to cover. How many of you understand that the Old Testament, when the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and sheep and all that kind of stuff was shed, it only covered their sin for that year. Amen? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and is gone forever. Amen? The Old Testament sacrifices could not actually remove the sin. It could only cover them. That meant that the sin was still there. It was just covered. So on this day, the people confessed their sins as a nation, and the high priest went into the most holy place to make atonement for them. So sacrifices were made, and blood was shed so that the people's sins could be covered until Christ's sacrifice on the cross would give you and I, the people, His children, an opportunity for our sins to be removed forever. Forever, church. I mean, we have to understand the importance of that. At the center of the tabernacle, as we were having worship practice a few weeks ago, I began to share with the worship team and zero them in a little bit more on all of this, and in the outlay of the tabernacle and the courtyard and everything. There were like three different areas. There was the courtyard, which would be outside, and that's where so many of the people gathered, and there was celebration, and they were clapping, and there was dancing and tambourines and this and that and all that going on out there. And then there was, they moved into, the next level in, which was, it wasn't the Holy of Holies, but it was more like into the sanctuary area. And the worship became a little more zoned in, a little more important. And then there was the Holy of Holies in the very presence of God, in behind the curtain, if you will. At the center of the tabernacle was the most holy place. It was screened off by this heavy curtain. And inside was the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant always represented the presence of God. So it was the Ark of the Covenant was there. It was a wooden chest. It was carried on poles. It had a lid on top. And rising up off the lid were two golden figurines of cherubim, angels representing the judgment of God who had guarded the entrance to the Garden of Eden. And between these two areas, there was a place known as the mercy seat. God said that he would meet with the priest in the most holy place on the Day of Atonement that was celebrated once a year. Aaron had to spend hours preparing himself to meet God. Here's the good news, church. You and I can go before him anytime we want. Amen? I mean, that's what we've been trying to do today, is get into his presence. Aaron spent hours preparing. He had to wear just the right clothes. He had to wear just the right garments. He had to bathe in water, which is probably a pretty good idea. Especially after sacrificing all of those animals. Hello. You and I, according to Hebrews 4:16, can approach God anytime. It says this, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." What a privilege we have, church, to be able to just go into the presence of the Most High God. We don't have to kill nothing to go in there. Except maybe your flesh. Except maybe your flesh. Amen? See, this verse is an open invitation to regard God as a great ally and a true friend. See, God occupies a throne. Yes, he does. A seat of power and a place of authority. But it is a throne of a gracious God. Can I tell you that grace means undeserved favor? You and I don't deserve the grace that God has bestowed upon any one of us. Not one of us in this place today deserves to have a righteous king die in our place. It's grace. Undeserved favor. Our ability to approach God does not come out of any merit of our own. It depends entirely upon him. He's our Father, and he loves us as his dear, precious children. Amen? At the throne of God, we will not receive anger or be ignored. You ever tried to talk to somebody who was just too busy to listen to you? I just want to talk, and they're over here and they're doing that. God's like, yes. He's our Father. He loves us. You go before him and you're not going to receive it. He might not be happy with what you've done, but he's going to walk you through the process of restoration, church. You won't be ignored. You and I will receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it. I know there's a lot of you that don't know a lot about me. But I can be I didn't want to share this. But I can. I have a tendency to be a little hot-headed. I trained Dan to drive log truck. And he said, I can tell when you're getting upset, preacher, because your head turns red. Isn't that right, Dan? It was scarlet glowing on Thursday. Because there's about 220 pounds of this flesh that I still don't have complete control of. And there's still an enemy out there that knows how to flip switches that quick. And he knows just which switches it takes to cause me to just turn red. But I recognize, even in the attacks like that of the enemy, I can still receive mercy and find grace. It's only because of mercy and grace that I did not respond. And I mean, I responded and I reacted, but that's as far as it went. It was only vocal. That's all I'm going to say. It was only verbal. But you can't recapture words once they're spoken. And so I'm not making an excuse for what I did, but I'm trying to use this as a learning time for me and a teaching time for you, that we've got to be very careful of what we let the enemy entice us into. And we've got to remember and recognize that the enemy is always out there. He's right there all the time, just waiting for an opportunity to pounce on you. And he pounced on me, and I lost to some degree. But you and I can find grace according to Hebrews 4 and 16. We are offered easier access, church, to God than the high priest of the Old Testament times. All we got to do is come boldly, not walk in there with your head hung down, whimpering and whining and carrying on. No, we can walk boldly into the very presence of God. Still, we must never forget that God is holy, nor let this privilege cause us to approach God carelessly. Listen, we need to make sure we say, God, forgive me. And I did. I said, oh, God, forgive me. The next day, I'm driving up the road. I meet a guy that I went to school with coming down the road. And he said, hey, I heard there was an altercation yesterday. Was that you or was it this other guy? And I said, no, it was me. He said, you know, I've never known you to get angry. And I said, well, it happened. He said, well, maybe I'll see a different side of you now. And I said, you know what? I sure hope not. I sure hope not. Because that's not the side of me I want them to see. I want them to see the Jesus side of me. Amen? Not the flesh side of me. The way to God has been opened up by Christ. We have to confess our sin. We got to do our best to keep things right. Easy access to God does not eliminate our need to prepare our heart as we draw near in prayer. God will use anything to teach us His truth, including something like what I went through. He'll use it. I have to remind myself that the Bible still says that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purposes. I love God. I believe I'm called according to His purpose. And I believe that God wants to use those things to teach me. The Day of Atonement is His greatest visual aid. It's like a drama in five acts, each one pointing forward to Jesus Christ. And it helps us to understand, church, the significance of His death on the cross and the sacrifice for our sins. And I want to play it out for you today, much like a drama. Act number one. Act 1, the priest appears. If you saw the high priest, you would immediately have known that he was the one of most importance to the one of the most important people in the land. His magnificent robes displayed the dignity of his office. But on the Day of Atonement, the high priest discarded those robes and appeared in the streets wearing a simple white cloth. People would line the route as he made his way toward the tabernacle. The tabernacle. I'm not sure where that's at. So let me try that again. People would line the route as he made his way toward the tabernacle, much like a boxer entering the ring. It was important stuff. It was a big day. Act 2. Act 1, the priest appears. Act 2, the priest prepares. The priest prepares. Before the high priest could enter the presence of God to offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people, his first priority was to deal with his own sin. I assure you that this morning I've been praying, God, forgive me. Forgive me for me. Forgive me for not being able to control my temper, my attitude, my actions from time to time. The priest prepares. Before the high priest could enter the presence of God to offer sacrifice for the sins of the people, his first priority was to deal with his own sin. So he took the blood of a slaughtered bull into the most holy place and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. He took care of him before he could take care. How many of you realize you got to take care of you before you can take care of anybody else? You got to take care of you before. That's why the Bible says, you know what? Maybe you ought to think about getting the plank out of your own eye before you try and get the speck out of your brother's eye. Act 3. Atonement is made. Two goats were brought forward. One was slaughtered. The high priest took that blood behind the curtain, sprinkled it on the mercy seat between the two cherubim that represented God's judgment. Justice was satisfied, and mercy was released when the sacrifice was made. This brings us to Act 4, where sin is confessed. So what happens next is literally the most dramatic part of the whole Day of Atonement. The live goat was brought forward. God instructed the high priest to lay both hands on the head of the goat and confess over it all the wickedness and the rebellion of the Israelites. The two goats represented the two ways God was dealing with the Israelites' sin. Number one, he was forgiving their sin through the first goat, which was sacrificed. How many of you know the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's got to be a shedding of blood to wash away or to cover, in the Old Testament sense, the sin. So the first goat was sacrificed for their sin. Number two, he was removing their guilt through the second goat, which was the scapegoat that was sent off into the desert. Amen? So this same ritual had to be repeated every year. Every year. So Jesus' death replaces this system once for all. We can have our sins forgiven and we can have the guilt removed by placing our trust in Christ. So Christ is the sacrificial goat on one hand and he's the scapegoat on the other hand. As the high priest held the head of the scapegoat in his hands, he confessed over it all the sins of Israel. The high priest identifies specific sins in his prayer. And if you and I had been in the crowd that day, you and I would have probably recognized some of the sins and confessed them as our own. Anybody ever have a hard time keeping their eyes on Jesus? Anybody ever have a hard time walking in the footsteps of Jesus? I mean, every time they turned around, the children of Israel were off worshiping something else, a golden calf or whatever. I mean, it was every time they turned around, they're doing something different. So it's pretty easy for us in our own minds this morning to hear that priest beginning to pray. Oh yeah, I remember that. Oop, yep, that was me. That one. Amen. We start to connect with all that is being confessed. And as he prays, an act of transfer took place. The guilt of these sins was removed from the people, and they were laid on this goat. Verse 21 of Leviticus 16. Says this, Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgression concerning all their sin, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. So at the end of that prayer, that was a very, very guilty goat. Amen? I mean, that goat's probably waddling. Because he's just weighted down. Act 5. Guilt is removed. Thank God for it. Then God told the high priest to send the goat away into the desert in the care of an appointed man for the task. This, for me, is one of the most powerful visualizations of the Gospels. See, imagine the scene as this goat is being led away between the tents and then outside the city, outside of the camp and off into the distance. You and I will watch until the man and the goat are simply a dot out there on the horizon, and then we can't see him anymore. I want you to understand that your sins are gone. What you did yesterday that was outside of the will of God that we would refer to as sin, if you've confessed it, it's gone. Gone. G-O-W-N. Gone. That's Myrtle Creekian, in case you was wondering. I want to look at the sequel to the first drama. How many of you know that they have all these movies and they have sequels? This is the sequel. This takes place about 1,500 years later. It features Jesus Christ in the role of the high priest. Act 1, Christ appears. He's not a son of Aaron, like all the others. This priest is the Son of God. His glory is far greater than the splendid clothes worn by the high priest. He shared the glory of the Father before the world began. But just as the high priest discarded his magnificent clothing on the Day of Atonement, so Christ laid aside his glory and took the form of a servant. Act 2. Christ prepares. Jesus did the work of the Father and fulfilled all of the work that the Father had given him to do. He was what every priest wished they could be. He lived the life that no other high priest was able to live. His perfect life qualified him to achieve what all the other priests could only illustrate. Hebrews 10 and 3 says, but in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. in those sacrifices. There was a reminder. Church, the children of Israel had to be reminded every year, over and over and over, of their sin. Can I tell you, now that Jesus Christ has established a new and a better covenant, you don't have to remember your sins over and over. The Bible says the fact of the matter is, He remembers them no more forever. Act 3, Christ makes atonement. Hebrews 10, verse 11 and 12, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away the sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. You know who we're talking about? We're talking about our Lord. We're talking about our Savior. After 3 years of public ministry, Jesus was arrested and He was sentenced to be crucified. On the cross, He became the sacrifice for our sin. The judgment of God was diverted away from us and onto Him. Church, when His blood was shed, God's justice was satisfied and mercy was released. That's very important for you and I to understand today, that mercy has been released. Act 4, we confess our sins. There is responsibility for you and I, church. We have responsibility. And that is, we have to confess our sins. So just as the high priest laid his hand on the head of the live goat and confessed the sins of the people, God invites us to lay hold of Jesus in an act of faith and confess our sins. And when we do, God counts the guilt of our sins as being transferred to Jesus. He becomes, literally, our scapegoat. Amen? They are laid on Him. They are included in the sin for which He died. How many of you know He knew you from before the foundations of the earth? He knows your beginning and He knows your end. Nothing you do today is going to catch Him off guard. Nothing you do today is going to be a surprise. He's not going to say to God, didn't see that coming. It's not going to happen. Act 5. And I close with this. Act 5. Our sins are removed. Aren't you glad for that? Our sins are removed. When our sins are laid on Christ, God promises that He will take them as far as the east is from the west. This verse of Scripture in Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgression from us. Usually when I give an altar call, I bring this Scripture up. And I describe it. And I talk about the graciousness of God and the importance that God said as far as the east is from the west. Because if you take off going east, you'll always be going east. Always. If you have a compass, you're following a compass, and it says east is that way, you'll always be going east. You might eventually end up over here, which to us right now is west, but if you got there by going that way, you're still going east. Do you understand that? Aren't you glad He didn't say as far as the north is from the south? Because it's a pretty short trip heading north before you're heading south. You are no longer going north once you cross the top. Now you're going south. Is it finite? Infinite means forever, right? Finite means there's an ending. Teachers, help me. Glory to God. I was absent that day. Surprise! This one's finite. This one's infinite. No ending. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from it. Listen, east and west can never meet. It's a symbolic portrait of the forgiveness of God. Aren't you glad for that today? Aren't you glad for the fact that that mess you made of yourself those years or days or hours ago are gone? When He forgives our sin, He separates it from us and doesn't even remember it anymore. I have a message that I preached about the forgetfulness of God. Aren't you glad for it? The forgetfulness of God. He forgives our sin, separates it, and does not remember it. We need to never wallow in our past. Am I still on, Steve? Because here's the problem, church. Some of you are hung up in your past. Some of you are trying to fix your past. You can't do it. You can't do it. All you can do is learn from your past and walk forward into your future. That's all you can do. You have to rely on God. He forgives and He forgets. We tend to dredge up the ugly past, but God's wiped our record clean. If we are to follow God, we must model His forgiveness. Listen, the enemy is going to be right there to tell you about what you did yesterday. I've had to deal with that. What I did last week, I've had to deal with multiple times this morning because He keeps bringing it up. Who are you to stand before God's people and serve communion and to preach God's Word when you were such a failure this week? I know I was, but He ain't done with me. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says He began a good work, not finished it. He ain't done working on me yet, church. Let me do this. What? It's a $20 bill. It's the biggest one I got in my wallet. I'm married. Anybody want this? Honest to God, people, do you not want a $20 bill? Anybody? She's already got more of them than I do. She doesn't need no more. She's got them all. I'll do the preaching. All right? Grab a chair, Pilgrim. Grab a chair. Do you want it? Do you still want it? Do you still want it? It's folded up. Do you still want? Do you? It does. It still has value, even all messed up. Right? What if I just wad it all up and stomp on it? I mean, it's bruised, it's bent, it's crumpled up, it's in the dirt, it's a mess. Do you still want it? Why do you still want it? Why do you still want it? Because what? Come here. Come here. Come here, boy. Come here. Come here. Come here. Give me some. Come here, son. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. I love this boy. Hallelujah. Well, listen. I understand that you want it for hunting tags. Come here. I'm not done with you yet. Come here. I understand that you want it for hunting tags. But the real reason that you want it is because it still has value. Regardless of what it looks like, it still has value. Why is that important? Because for me this week, I got beat up a lot. I saw my life flashing before my eyes. I mean, I could have been dead that quick. But I'm still here. The devil's not happy about that, but I am. I've been drugged through the mud. I've been called an old man. I've been told by a young gangster punk, "I'll whip your hind end, old man."
Was that why you were angry?
I'll do the preaching. Okay. But I still have value. And you still have value. And you might be drugged through the mud today. You might have been drugged through the mud all week long, but you still have value. Whether you're crinkled up or folded up or whatever, it doesn't matter. You still have value. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would still have died for you no matter what. So go buy yourself a tag. I suppose you want another one now, huh? Listen, church. Listen to me. Sometimes the medicine goes down a little better with a spoon of sugar. If we're going to follow God, if we're going to follow God, then church, you and I have to model His forgiveness. You know what that means? That means that I've got to convey to a young man forgiveness, which doesn't feel very good right now. Because frankly, I just wanted to lay hands on him. Amen. Long, hard, and continuously. But that's not God's way. God says, if I'm going to follow Him, I have to model His forgiveness. Church, when you and I forgive one another, we have to forget the sin. Listen to me. We've got to forget the sin. Otherwise, we haven't really forgiven. You know why? Because we're hanging on to that. Well, I've still got that on you. We've got to get rid of that. This morning, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed and people are praying, He's here today to forgive you and I of all of our sins for which He died. You might be beat up today. You might feel like you've been run over by a truck. But I want you to know today that you still have value. And you know how you determine the value? By the price someone's willing to pay for you. Jesus Christ redeemed you and I with the blood of with His own blood. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Church, you have value today. I want you to understand that. Yes, there's an enemy. Yes, he hates you. Yes, he wants to take you out. Yes, he wants to cause you to walk away from all things God. But God loves you today, and this preacher loves you. This church body loves you. If you're watching today by way of the internet, I pray that your heads are bowed, that you're contemplating your life, what the enemy has brought across you, tried to dissuade you. Today you can be just as saved sitting there in your home as those are about to be here in this place today. It's as simple as this. The Bible says, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. Period. And when you become saved, when you are the blood of Jesus is applied to your life, the Bible says that our sins are washed away. Though my sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Jesus said, when you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to remove our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you're at the kitchen sink and you're washing all those dishes and all the noodles and the hamburger meat and whatever else is in the sink and it's floating around, it's just a mess. It's nasty. That's your sin. But when you pull that stopper out of the sink, that stuff all goes away. It all goes away. You never see that again because it's down the drain. It's washed away. And that's the way your sins are, church. Your sins are washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Never to be held against you again. Oh, preacher, it sounds good, but you just don't know how bad I've been. Well, you don't know how bad I've been. I mean, I've shared a little of it just today, that he's still working on it. You've not been too bad. Listen to me. You have not been too bad. You've not done enough things wrong to stop the blood of Jesus from cleansing you. One drop of the blood of Jesus will completely cleanse you. All you got to do is acknowledge your need for a Savior. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. People are praying in this place. Church, you need to pray because you don't know that person sitting next to you might be the one that's doing it. There's a battle going on right now. There's a battle going on right now. If you know you need Jesus, if you've never accepted Him before, whether you're here or whether you're watching by way of the internet, if you've never accepted Him today, I want you to slip your hand up. Anybody at all? Say, preacher, I need Him. I need to accept Him. I'm a mess. I'm a mess like none other. Maybe you've, at one time or another, you've accepted the Lord and you surrendered your life to Him, but life happened and somebody challenged you like they challenged me and you blew it and you took it the extra mile and now you're like, boy, the enemy's telling you you're not worthy to be saved anymore. I'm telling you, yes, you are. God's Word's telling you, yes, you are. His Holy Spirit's telling you, yes, you are. And all you got to do is say, God, forgive me. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up. I want to pray with you too. If you're on watching by way of the internet today and you're one of those that's raised their hands, that I want you to just put a little note there on the comment section saying, hey, that was me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Church, pray for your pastor. I need it. I need it. The enemy don't like me. He doesn't like me. He doesn't like this church. He doesn't like what we stand for. But we win. We win. Act 5. Our sins are removed. Our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. One day, very soon, I believe, He's coming back to take His people to be with Him forever in glory. I'm looking forward to that day. Father, I love You today. I thank You that you haven't killed me yet. That you're still working on me. I'm not finished. I heard it said this way this week. God's still in the kitchen and I'm in the oven. Jesus is still cooking. But one of these days, He's going to open the oven and He's going to pull me out. And when that happens, He's going to look at me and say, well done. Well done. Well done. Church, He's still in the kitchen and He's still working on you. But one day, He's going to say, well done. Father, I love You. This family loves You. God, we desire more of You. We desire Your presence, God, in this place more and more and more. And God, we desire to be about Your business. Lord, for those on the internet today, maybe somebody raised their hand out there. If you'll just simply say, Lord, forgive me. Come into my heart. Change me. Make me brand new. Wash me in Your blood, Lord. I confess my sin. I confess You as my Lord and my Savior. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and I'll serve You from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I promise you, you're just as saved as anybody else. Amen? Listen, I want to thank you for joining us today by way of the internet. I want to thank you for being here today, putting up with me, praying for me. I know that there are those of you that pray for me every day. And I need it. I need it. There are changes coming, church. There are things in the works that are going to be amazing. I believe that. Amen? Father, thank you for each one here. Bless them this week. Use them this week to convey your gospel, your good news to somebody that needs to hear that Jesus loves them. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you. God go with you. See you on Wednesday. Amen. See you guys on Wednesday. Ladies on Thursday. Have a great rest of your week. Hug somebody. Shake their hand. Tell them you love them.